We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What was it like going to Wisconsin and being drafted fifth, right? Fifth pick by the Green Bay Packers, man.
Actually, I got drafted by the Saints.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Hey, you know what I was thinking about the other day, fool? Dinosaurs. Crazy, right?
Yeah, when I talk to it, it says you have to speak in American English.
Yeah.
What other kind of English is there? Is there British?
Thanks for asking. I'm going to put this as delicately as I know how. You can chortle my balls.
Am I in hell? I deserve this.
Get ready. Time yourself on this one. You can go to the bathroom. You could take the dog for a walk, but bring your transistor radio with you.
Right.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Level test.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Let's do famous threesomes for 200, please.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Roll another one.
Rady and Durf.
Just like the other one.
Ugh, I'm a sweaty pot.
This one seems to be about.
I just realized I do not know this bitch.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roger that. Hear you loud and clear.
Dude, time to hit the exercise machine.
Just pass it around.
Oh, no, you did not.
Viva la France.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
I'm just full of number ones. So it's better than being number two. Or going number two.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, your buddies. Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, Beer Mug?
Yes.
Yeah. Allie's a little sick.
Sitting in again.
Is everyone sick? I'm sick. Allie's sick.
I thought I was getting sick on Wednesday when we had
you beat it because of positive thinking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I Omar willed it out of myself.
Great. Mm.
But I also drank a lot of liquids.
Okay. That also helps.
Is it possible that you weren't sick?
No, I was. I started to get that tickle,
mm-hmm.
but I have found in the past that if I get it early enough and I just drain it out, it will just cut it right out.
It mm-hmm. sounds very sexy.
You know, a lot of liquids.
You were on a juice cleanse as well. Could
that
have helped.
Too. My immune system is up now.
Could have helped.
It could have.
Jensen?
I think he said my moon system.
He did.
Okay.
He meant immune. But
yeah, I did mean
yeah.
immune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My moon system is doing good, though. I feel all right.
Sick, not sick?
No, okay. I'm not sick.
All right.
I mean, knock on dirty desk that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
I have not gotten sick since taking this job a year and a half ago.
That's a miracle.
That is a miracle. And now I will have jinxed it, and I mm-hmm. will get very sick
yep.
and die. But I think I'm doing all right, and I think the staff overall, only one person's out today, mm-hmm. correct? So that's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
I have to visit the doctor after the show today. Just
uh-oh.
Wait.
I can't stop coughing for the life of me.
Oh, no.
Really?
It's just the same. But really, no other symptoms, sort of. You know what I mean?
Hmm. So you're
sinus
saying...
Sinus stuff, coughing stuff.
You're sick is what you're saying.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, I'm partially sick.
Okay.
I'm not going to give it a full sick.
That's not good.
No, it's fine.
I felt safe until now.
No. You mean you're going to get sick from me?
Yeah, after I just possible. Said I've never gotten sick
I mean,
in a year and a half.
That is possible.
I did sort of tee that one up for
that
you.
That would be very ironic, wouldn't it?
I don't know if ironic works.
Non-stop coughing with nothing else going on. That's not one of the symptoms of corona, is it?
I mean, no, but I think it's probably a good start.
You're taking a few steps on the way to corona?
Yeah, like, I'm coughing a lot, but that's it.
I mean, it's fine.
No, but I mean, like, I take my temperature. It's not up. And that's okay. the main one. I think that's one, one of the main ones.
Yeah. Okay,
so
good.
All good.
All right. Just don't.
Like Superman.
Don't hand me anything.
Plus, I heard on the news.
Don't hand me anything.
Like, don't. I don't want to touch any papers or pens or whatever.
I heard on the news this morning that the only confirmed case of corona has happened in Chicago.
Really?
I thought there were like four or five in the United States.
I, you know, that's the problem. I don't know what's going on. I've heard four or five, and then I heard this morning one. So that's why, I mean, people are probably panicking, right? Because we don't, they don't know what's going on? Is that what's happening?
I mean, what happens is something like this comes along, and then it's so novel in the news that the news goes crazy over it. And then people like us sort of make jokes and make all the stabs, and we're going to die tonight. And it, I think it just sort of becomes this popular thing where it's like, oh, we're all going to die from this now.
Yeah, but then the health organization upgraded it yesterday, and they're saying that...
What'd they call it, a world...
Yeah, like a health issue, and then the United States is saying, don't travel to China. So I know in the 7 a.m. hour, we are having Dr. Mo on, friend of the show, true doctor. He has thoughts and feelings.
And they're...
They're shocking.
He's not at all happy with this.
No, he thinks that this is all hype.
Yep.
So
whipping people into a needless frenzy.
Correct.
Which is what we do here. What apparently the rest of the world's doing too. But he's had it. He's had it with this.
But I am interested. I'm excited to talk to him because I really was. I mean, if you just go by what we're being told, right?
Yeah.
I think like my mom came over yesterday to see the baby. And I told her, she goes, she can't believe it. You know, she's doing her mom thing. All our moms would be terrified of this kind of thing. And I go, you know, the doctor we have on the show is on tomorrow, and we kind of know what he feels, and here's some statistics. And she still, she couldn't break the mold. Like, she was like, no, that.
She was paranoid specifically
still,
for herself
still,
and or her grandbaby?
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone.
Everyone.
You're like, Mom, why are you wearing a hefty bag?
Yeah, what's going on? Why are you wearing a helmet, an astronaut helmet? But yeah, she was very scared. And for good reason. Yeah.
Not really.
Come on, the news is all over the place with this.
Yeah, I guess.
They're showing, like, skeletons and being like, this could be you tomorrow.
Don't say that.
Yes, they do.
Guys, I wish they would.
You remember the bird flu?
Yeah.
That was kind of the same thing, right?
They were all all of these come in cycles.
Bird flu, swine flu.
Yep.
Killer bees. Remember killer bees?
Sure.
I thought for sure we would be gone and the world would just be controlled by bees.
It seems like there's one of these every, I don't know, year?
Yeah.
And then everybody panics and then it goes away and it didn't affect us at all, really. And then we move on.
H1N1.
Yep. Yeah.
This happens all the time, and then it goes away.
Yep.
But at the same time, the flu is terrifying, and that's what we're going to get into at 7.
Yeah.
Because the flu is killing people.
That is actually a killer.
That is.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about the rest of today's show, shall we?
I stand corrected. This is compelling radio.
People are dumb.
Okay.
Hot take Jensen.
Oh, yeah.
Jensen's very upset about something.
I'm locked and loaded.
Mm-hmm. Joe Buck, who's the play-by-play announcer for the game this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to him on the show. We have Dr. Mo, as we mentioned.
Yes.
Talk about coronavirus and how we're all going to die. Super Bowl party disasters. This has to happen a lot.
Oh, yeah.
A, sports fans. B, alcohol.
Yeah.
Betting.
And if everyone's there rooting on the same team and then it's like 38-0, you're losing.
Yeah.
The spirits completely turn. Yeah.
We also have what's happening and we have Keep It 100 because it's Friday.
And Steve-O.
Oh, yeah. The man.
Yeah, dude. And Steve-O.
He's coming in here.
He is.
I got a lot of thoughts about his new tour.
Me too. That guy's just a crazy man, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like, I'm calming down in my 40s. He's doing stunts on his tour that he never would have done before. I was like, how is that calming
down? Calming down.
You're
at
actually
all.
Doing more.
Yeah. He's ramping it up.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Steve-O as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
KROQ-FM. It's Kevin in the Morning. The world famous K-Rock.
Kelly is at home.
Mm-hmm.
But Muggs is here with a look at what's happening.
I know. You sound like you're getting sick.
Yeah,
this is a nightmare.
That cough is turning into...
No, all good. 100%.
No,
I'm 100%.
You're definitely not 100%.
100%.
No, I'm good at math.
I'm not.
And I know you're not 100%.
I'm going to say 100%.
Oh, boy.
Muggs, what do you got?
Sunday is the big game, as we all know it, and many of the Super Bowl ads that this event is known for have been edited due to this past Sunday's tragedy. One of them including a Hyundai Genesis commercial featuring Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. The beginning of the commercial shows a helicopter scene, so they have edited that out to remain sensitive to what has happened. Also, Hard Rock International edited a Super Bowl commercial to remove scenes including fellow NBA legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
Which I could see, like, it's kind of weird, but...
Just because he was a Laker?
I can see it.
Yeah.
Well, nothing else. He also made the statement.
Yeah. Maybe because he's being, like, super goofy or something.
I haven't seen the commercial, but, you know...
It makes sense.
They don't want to say, oh, what? Kareem's in here. What?
Or that they're, like, I guess, capitalizing on the idea that Kareem's out
there. Right.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Maybe I'll take that.
So, those couple... Also, we heard about the Planters Peanut commercial where Mr. Peanut's funeral scene.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah.
They totally completely pulled that commercial, so we won't even be seeing that.
We'll never be able to mourn Mr. Peanut, which is...
Well, wait. Now, hold on.
Which is the true problem.
But hold on. Does he die or does he not die?
Great question.
Mr. Peanut, I think, is fine now.
We'll have to find out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We all love James Corden here on this show.
We do.
Correct.
He revealed recently in an interview that he sought out therapy after fame went to his head. Corden revealed to The New Yorker that friends and family began to take exception to his increasingly spoiled behavior after the success of his sitcom, Gavin and Stacey, in 2008.
Yes.
He's quoted as saying, I started to behave like a brat that I just don't think I am. He also shared, it's so intoxicating, that first flush of fame, and I think it's even more intoxicating if you're not bred for it.
And then he said,
these are people, but they're cats, and this is kind of blowing my mind.
Yeah, right. I gotta be honest, I don't know how you live in that world with that kind of attention, and it doesn't go to your head somehow.
It has to. Mm-hmm. I mean,
all the
special treatment that celebrities get, you start expecting it, right?
I would think.
I was business partners with James for years.
Jensen wrote on his show, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would ever think he was like a spoiled brat, but I do know for him, he had kids and he had all these things. So I think for him, it was like he wanted to keep his, you know, ego grounded.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So more than anything, I think it was like preliminary in real life, even though he's kind of essing on himself there. But he's always been nice to me.
Yeah, I've never met him, but he seems like a nice guy.
He's clearly beloved on screen because he's like a cute little, you know, Cupid baby.
It was funny.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's like a New Year's baby. 100%.
Yeah. Corden also said that his mother revealed that she had prayed for him while his sisters simply insisted him not to be a D-head.
Right.
So
I'm surprised his head could get technically any bigger,
that's
though.
That's true. It's
he
quite
does have a large noggin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is exciting news. I was surprised
by
this.
I've never heard that story. I've never
heard someone say
an actor or someone on personality say, I went to get some help, therapy, because my family said I was getting too big a head. That just doesn't happen.
No, it would be a nice admission.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
Paul Rubens attempted to make a film comeback for his classic character Pee-wee Herman several years ago in his Netflix original movie Pee-wee's Big Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And that revealed some news that he is still trying to make a dark Pee-wee Herman film.
Yeah.
So he
Blackface?
No, that would be pretty bad. I don't think he's going to be able to get the money for that,
You're
Kevin.
Not saying that. Okay.
Not in 2020.
No, not at all, Kevin.
The dark Pee... Oh, no, he's coughing.
No,
he's coughing.
No.
I'm not. I'm 100%.
Yeah, so he came out with Pee-wee's Big Holiday, and it was real that that's not what... He didn't really even want that movie. Mm-hmm. He wanted it to be darker. It received mixed reviews, and he had pitched a darker idea to Judd Apatow, who was involved with the Holiday movie, and Paul Rubens, rather, he said he wanted the plot involving Pee-wee to be released from prison, becoming a yodeling star.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
Becoming a yodeling star.
You know the story. I mean, it's very atypical.
Yodeling.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Nice.
I do think I used to do a Pee-wee, like Bart. But I think my voice is normally Pee-wee.
It's Pee-wee-ish.
Yeah. Like, this is my normal voice. Hold on. This is my normal voice. Did you take my bike? That feels normal Pee-wee. Okay, this is me doing Pee-wee. Did you take my bike?
Okay.
Was that good?
You gotta throw in the ha-ha.
Okay, hold on.
That's part of it.
All right,
Like I know.
Tequila!
Yeah.
Okay, it's better than your Bart.
Better?
Yeah. It's way better
than
your Bart.
That's pretty good. All right, take it easy.
There it is. Knitting! And knitting! That's pretty good.
That's great.
I'm proud of myself.
Good job, Jensen.
No more Bart.
No more Bart. So after he is released from prison and becomes a yodeling star, he moves to Hollywood, finds stardom on the big screen, which leads to a dark path of pills and alcohol and eventually shock treatment at a mental hospital.
Wow.
So, Large Bart sent me.
Nope.
When they pulled him. I was doing a totally different movie. Never mind.
Good job.
So when Rubens pitched that all that that wonderful idea to Apatow, Judd talked him out of it. Mm-hmm. But Rubens has still been shopping around the idea ever since. He now says that the Safdie brothers, who made this year's Uncut Gems, mm-hmm. may be interested. So Kevin,
all right,
stay tuned for a dark, not blackface, Pee Wee Herman film.
Mm-hmm. I think I would like that.
Yeah.
Ha! It's pretty good.
It is.
Between Muggs and I.
It's pretty good.
We're really killing it.
I know you are, but what am I?
The word of the day is depression. Alcohol. Alcoholism.
Oh.
Who wants Xanax? It's kind of my normal voice.
I like it.
I'm not really doing much to
it. Oh, man. Keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Portia de Rossi, Justin Timberlake, Kerry Washington, Minnie Driver, baseball pitching legend Nolan Ryan, John Lydon, otherwise known as Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols, and Marcus Mumford. And that's what's happening.
KROQ.
It's Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen.
LA and OC's alternative rock.
You know what I've learned? People are dumb.
Dumb.
This is a strange story out of Texas. Two crooks were getting away with a TV mm-hmm. on a motorcycle. A big screen TV they stole.
Just holding it.
Yes.
Okay.
And they got away.
Oh.
Here's the story.
It's definitely not something you see every day. A 50-inch TV sandwiched between two people on a motorcycle. People in the Alvin area captured these images. Just an hour before this, a burglary happened at a home on County Road 101 and 90 in Manville.
By the way, there were many, many pictures and many, many videos.
Sure, like people driving by being like, that's a weird look.
Why would you hold a 15-inch TV on a motorcycle between two guys?
It's stupid even without the robbery.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was just before 3 on Monday. Home surveillance video shows their motorcycle pull up to the home. The thieves head to the back patio, look around, then they rip a TV out of a cabinet that had been drilled into it.
By the way, this is funny because they do have every step of this thing they have on video. Every step.
You see them
pulling up to the house.
They were completely captured.
Yeah, the whole time.
Wow. Beginning to end.
You then see them get back on the bike with the TV in tow, where they were sighted all over Brazoria County.
To ride in plain sight and with a TV, it's unfortunate and absolutely brazen. You should have some shame, quite frankly.
Shut up, man on the street.
Yeah.
We don't need that from you. We need you to just jump to conclusions and yell about it.
I want to take your mistakes and capture it from beginning to end, sir.
What the hell?
You know, that's no shame whatsoever.
Oh, shut up.
Brazoria County deputies say they followed the thieves but lost them.
How?
I mean,
I know motorcycles can get away from cars. I do know that.
Yes.
How do you lose a motorcycle with two guys and a 50-inch screen on it?
Well, the new TVs are lighter these days.
Oh, yeah, and they are pretty basically sleek. Like, they're sleek and slim.
It's a bit of a wind block, though.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they get away.
Huh.
This has to be the most embarrassing.
And also,
it's all caught on
video. Take that man on the street.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, you should be ashamed. Dude, we got away, bro.
Stealing and on a motorcycle and just putting it out there to where, look at me, you know, like, I don't, you know, I mean, it's looks bad.
Shut up, man. On the street, they got away.
Hater.
Right? Ugh. Why is he a narc?
Ugh.
Hate that guy.
He sucks.
St. Pete man tried to carjack an undercover cop, police say. This comes out of Tampa, Florida. Thank God for Florida. We know what's up with Florida.
God bless it.
And I always listen for those stories so that we don't repeat. We don't have to.
No, there's enough.
A Tampa, Florida man, Donald Stephen Dugray, 20, was running from the police when he tried to carjack a vehicle. Inside the car, he tried to carjack an undercover cop.
Oh!
Wow. He hit, he dealt with two vehicles, both of them cops.
Oh, very good.
Gulfport police tried to stop him on his bicycle that night after he ran a light, mm-hmm. and he took off and crashed into a Sergeant Cruiser.
Love it.
Dugray hit the ground, and a gun fell out of his waistband.
Oh, hero.
That was loaded.
Oh, good.
He picked up the gun and ran away from police, then tossed the gun onto the roof of a nearby diner. Officers later recovered it. It had mm-hmm. 5 bullets in it. Dugray was running from the police, and an undercover officer who was moving into the area to help pulled up his car. Dugray grabbed the guy and leaned in and said, "Get out of your car, I need it." The officer hit Dugray with the door and pulled his gun on him. Officers then caught up to Dugray and took him into custody. In addition to attempted carjacking, Dugray was arrested on charges of carrying a concealed firearm, resisting arrest, fleeing police, and tampering with evidence.
Bad luck, man.
He hit a police car and tried to steal a police car.
Yep.
Insanity.
High goals.
What do you do when you can't keep up at work?
I mean, I don't know, Kevin.
Can't keep up.
Maybe you tell us.
Right? I should tell you. Let's ask Jason De La Cruz, a United States postal worker.
Stress and pressure. That's what caused a U.S. Postal Service employee to put mail into a storage unit instead of delivering it. Mm. It states he rented the unit for $49 a month. And when he couldn't finish his route, he would drop off the undelivered mail there.
He just would just go, you know what? Not done.
Rented a unit just to put all the mail that he could not handle.
Just dump it in there. It was just a huge mound of mail that hadn't been done.
I mean, he
did this day after day after day after day.
It's pretty ingenious.
Jason De La Cruz was charged with delay in mail delivery by a postal employee. He pled guilty in court.
I mean, because that's an extra expense. You know, why would he do that?
Shut up, woman on the street!
These people are haters!
What's wrong with these people?
He told News 3 that at first he intended to deliver the mail when he had time, but got overwhelmed and fell behind. De La Cruz told News 3 he takes full responsibility for the crime. He didn't want to be interviewed on camera, but said the job just wasn't a right fit for him.
I think it's really important now, more than ever, that we don't knee-jerk reactions to things that we hear, and we kind of just take a moment and step back and empathize.
Shut up!
Who are
Man
these?
On the street.
Yeah. Who are these people?
You're not a judge. You're not a jury. Yeah. You're just a dude. They're asking for a comment. Be entertaining.
He try to gain all the facts before we make a decision on being a judge, jury, and executioner.
He admitted it.
Documents reveal that he didn't steal mail, and the post office eventually got it sent out.
And ultimately, it's going to be on the judge if he's found guilty of a felony or what level of punishment he's going to receive.
Yeah, right. We know that. Thank you, Ben.
Way too thoughtful. God.
Let me just say this. You guys remember that story in Mobile, Alabama, where there was a leprechaun in a tree?
Oh, yeah, in the tree, man.
Oh! This is what you want from a man on the street interview.
Mm-hmm. Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff. And it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
That is the kind of interview that you need on the news.
You think that they thought out the leprechaun's thoughts and motives and said that the judge needs to decide? No, man, there was a leprechaun in the tree.
Be entertaining, people.
Please.
That's what I'm saying. The news will interview anyone.
Yes.
So if you get your chance, please be entertaining.
Please.
And that's People Are Dumb.
Dumb.
It's Kevin in the Morning on K-Rock.
Kevin in the Morning.
Kevin.
The world-famous K-Rock.
The listeners have been begging for it, and here it is.
Have they?
The return of Hot Take Jones!
It's time for Hot Take Jones.
Millennials are so stupid. She's a total loser.
Believe in him.
What if I lick my dog's butt?
His name is Jensen.
Whee!
He's got a hot take on everything.
My two-year-old penis?
Yeah. Say, Hot Take Jones is here. What's your hot take? And please don't be a dummy. Hot Take Jones is here.
Yeah, I'm assuming this will be sharts out the mouth. Okay. Wow. All right. All right.
Interesting.
Did not approve that.
What's the problem today, Jensen?
Okay. So you know I am a basketball head.
Yes.
I am a baseball head.
Mm-hmm.
I even got a little more into football because of this job.
Wow.
Sports are my thing. I wrote the ESPYs for like 6 years.
Some yes, crazy. Right.
I'm a sports guy.
Uh-huh.
I'm an athletic fan.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer is BS. I'll tell you why. And I know it's the world's biggest sport.
Okay, you know you're on the wrong side of history.
I know it's massive.
Okay.
I know that for the past 20 years, they've been telling us that everyone's going to play soccer, and yet it's still kind of a small minority here in the U.S. I know that we have MLS. I know we have World Cup. I know we have all these things, and I've had people for years tell me soccer is the way to go. But I say,
let me make this real clear, Katui. If there is one thing in this world I cannot stand, it is soccer.
Okay, and that's because of one reason.
All right, why?
Extra time. It is
extra time. Why?
The killer of the sport. Because imagine if in basketball, right, we watch the game and then at the end of the four quarters, right when you're so excited for a buzzer beater, right? Oh, here it comes. They're down two and a guy shoots with 1 second left. The referee runs out and he goes, few more minutes. And then everyone starts playing again. That is what soccer does. So
except for there's no surprise to that. Everybody that's playing soccer knows that this is the rule.
Well, there's still a surprise as to how long the time is going to be.
Sure.
So what they do is they make basically the game goes on for those who don't know. For those who are lucky enough to not know this stupid rule, they basically go on a whole game, and as the game's going, the clock runs through the whole thing.
Never stops. That's the difference between basketball.
I'll let you know. Yeah, so unlike basketball, during a dead ball, they'll stop the clock.
Right.
So this happens during substitutions, assessment of injuries to players, removal of injured players from the field of play, wasting time,
mm-hmm.
which couldn't be more, you know, like, oh, are they wasting time?
Which happens all the time,
by the way.
But
it's all in someone's mind, all in the referee's mind.
Correct.
And this is legitimately the other reason. You ready? This I just gave you a bunch of them. Those made sense.
Mm-hmm.
The last one is any other cause. Just any other cause. That's what the referees use.
So the referee has the discretion to add time for any other cause?
Correct.
So, okay. Like, if there's a streaker on the field, that stops the game.
That's the kind of thing, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, again, it is not, you know, it's not apples to apples. So, for example, the referee can see something and he goes, that was about 60 seconds. They don't actually, they have a watch a lot,
yeah.
But they admit they don't use it all the time.
It's not official.
No, not at all. Not at all.
That's true.
Now, beyond that, crazier thing, all right?
So far, you said nothing wrong.
Okay. Crazier than that, right?
Right.
So, for example, throughout the whole game, I'm like 60 seconds, 40 seconds. I'm letting my fourth referee know these are all my times. 40 seconds. So you would think, okay, that's cool. He's keeping track, even if it's not perfect. At the end of the stoppage that he's said throughout the whole game, he can also just keep going.
Oh, no, it's a minimum.
However many minutes. So he said,
so he'll say 4 minutes. He'll say a minimum of 4 minutes. Could be longer based on his discretion.
That is weird.
Yeah, that is what the only sport, I think, that does it that way.
It is insane. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for example, goals and cards and yellow cards, red cards, those are usually expected to count for about 30 seconds of added time. So those celebrations that you know, the people running, throwing their, you know, on their shins, just, like, putting their arms up in the air.
So exciting.
All that gets added
That's
to 30 seconds. Yes. All, no, it's not exciting.
Okay.
It's stupid because it adds time to the game.
Ah.
There is no true guideline as to how this goes down. So be excited for being down a goal, right? And then they go, oh, we're adding 4 minutes at the end.
A minimum of 4 minutes.
A minimum. You'll never know when the game's actually ending. So you can have all the suspense you want, all the things you love from sports, the ninth inning home run, the last minute three-pointer, all of it won't mean anything if the referee just thinks there should be more time.
So, like,
case closed!
I mean,
I'm going to give you a worse example of that.
Oh, wait, you're on my side?
Yeah,
he's traveled to other countries to see this sport, admitting it's BS.
I love this sport.
Okay.
Although I did write an article before in a magazine saying that it sucked.
Okay.
And I said that they should eliminate 80 yards of the field so that they could just shoot at each other. And then also, if it gets to overtime, they should just drop another ball and they're both live.
By the way, those ideas make better sense than just letting the referee add time.
But that's before I learned, Jensen, before I knew the game.
So
I love
the
game.
Let me know why this terrible rule makes sense.
I'm going to tell you why it's worse than you think.
Okay. That's no help.
Because the referee always, for the good of the game, if your team is attacking and he thinks the time is up, in his mind now, mm-hmm. he goes, all right, it's been 4.5 minutes. I should blow the whistle. If the team is attacking, he'll let them finish attacking.
That's right. So if you're on offense, basically, and you're in the middle of a possible goal,
yes.
he just goes, let him try.
Let him try it.
Let him go.
Even though
the fake time I've made up is finishing, I'm still going to let mm-hmm. them keep moving.
There was a guy in the World Cup. The ball was in the air over toward the goal, and he blew the whistle, dead, and mm-hmm. they sent him home immediately. Because that's just not how you do it.
Wow.
If you let that team have another try.
Can I tell you another thing? Soccer players have admitted, and maybe Kevin needs to explain this better. They've admitted that if they're winning, they just stall time throughout the whole game because they know that the seconds aren't going to be exact. So if you just stall the time, it's never going to be as long.
Oh, they do that all the time. Super annoying.
What is this sport?
It's super annoying.
It seems crooked.
It is a crooked game.
I don't know. I mean, I think they do a pretty good job considering there's so much subjective from the ref.
Mm-hmm. And they probably learned so much by the perfect example set by the World Cup committee. You know what I mean? Like, basically, what I'm saying is this sport is completely filled with crime, cheating. It makes baseball look like Boy Scouts.
If you're talking about faking injuries and stuff like that, yes.
Because if they fake injuries, no matter what, the time that they steal from the clock uh-huh. will never be exact to the time that's
put
back on it.
Yeah, that's annoying. That's annoying. And I do think that they should go back and find people retroactively. If you're faking an injury, mm-hmm. that's one of the things that drives me crazy. Retroactively, go back after the game, look at the video. If you're faking it, give them a fine. I think they should do that, but yeah. they don't really ever.
So what you're saying is...
Hot take Jones!
No,
that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying I love it.
Soccer is BS.
And don't
get me
started. Soccer is BS.
No, but wait.
Soccer is BS.
Hot take Jones is here. Yeah, I'm assuming this will be Sharks out the mouth.
This is Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen.
LA and OC's alternative rock. KROQ.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Rodgers does this better than anybody. End zone, Cobb, touchdown! Unbelievable!
Joe Buck, play-by-play for Super Bowl 54 in Miami. Good morning, Joe.
Yeah.
Good morning. How are my friends out there in Los Angeles?
We are good. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I mean, it's Miami, it's South Beach, it's speedboats and bad suits and everything else, and getting ready to do a game to 115 million people.
Oof. Is there any difference to you, you know, from a playoff game to the Super Bowl?
To just an exhibition game.
Yeah.
I mean, I could say no, because I think if you say that, then you're admitting that you do less work.
Sure.
The other games.
Sure.
But there's something different. There's so much hype, and there's 2 weeks of just talk about the game, and then we talk about the game, and eventually they kick off, and then it actually does become a game. So I think once it kind of settles in, then it feels more normal. But I think the lead-in and the whole mental gymnastics you go through of worrying about how many people are on the other side of that camera. I think it's hard to get that out of your mind, but you have to do your best to make that the case.
What's your week like leading up to announcing the Super Bowl? Have you been there just this week or just?
Yeah, no, we just got, I think we all got down here Monday, had a Fox event on Monday evening, just with our little production group. And then Tuesday was our own media day, where people are coming up to you asking really normal routine questions and then stupid questions.
Sure.
And so, you know, you grin and bear it for an hour, and then go to dinner as a little production group. And then Wednesday and Thursday are kind of the long days, where you're going to practice. Wednesday we went to Kansas City's practice, went over to their hotel. And that the whole process, because of the drive around Miami in this area, probably took 6 hours. And the same yesterday.
Sweet.
With the 49ers. So they're long days, but there's plenty of pockets of time to kind of either A, relax, which I did all last night. I didn't do anything except sit in the room and watch the movie Parasite. Or B.
Sure. Very chill.
Yeah, very chill. Yeah. Who knew?
How good is Parasite?
So many laughs.
Interesting ending.
Yeah. How great was that? That was my favorite movie last year.
It's great.
Yeah, I turned off my iPad and just smiled my way to sleep at the end of that last night.
Good movie for Joe Buck.
Yeah, right before the Super Bowl. So,
sure.
This weekend's pretty good. My daughters will be in town. My wife is here. And we'll try to get as much normal family time and then just go do the game on Sunday and get the hell out of here on Monday.
Question, Joe. I guess my favorite part about your calling is you really focus on storytelling a lot more than other announcers. What are the big stories out of this Super Bowl for people who only tune into the game just for you know, the last one of the season?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people tune in for other parts of it, whether it's the Super Bowl ads or it's halftime and all that goes into that. So I think you have to keep it really basic, almost more than you would a regular game. I think all that information's out there if you're a diehard fan and especially these two teams. I think fans will get frustrated a little bit if they follow the Chiefs and the 49ers all year to realize how basic some of the storylines are. But to answer your question, I think it's easy to forget that San Francisco's gone 5-11 and then 4-12 the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And now here they are in the Super Bowl. It's been a quick turnaround with a quarterback that was holding a clipboard for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots for 3 years, and actually has two Super Bowl rings, but has never stepped onto the field. And now he's the main guy for the 49ers. And then Patrick Mahomes is one. He's a freak athlete and an unbelievable quarterback. But I think all that, once you get to know him a little bit, and you talk to their PR staff, he's an even better young guy and doesn't need a camera crew with him to go visit a hospital or a school. He just does stuff because he knows it's an important role he plays. I love the guy. I think he's got the chance to be one of the all-time greats, and he can literally take over a game. I just don't see anybody else these days that has that ability, whether he wants to run it, throw it, pitch it, whatever he wants to do. He can ruin a defense even when the defense is playing and doing exactly what they should be doing.
We're talking to Joe Buck. He's doing the play-by-play on Fox for the Super Bowl. 49ers Chiefs looks on paper like it's a perfect matchup. Many, many Super Bowls don't go that way. Even if they look good beforehand, seems like a blowout happens a lot of times. Are you worried about that with this game?
Yeah, we've done those. You know, we did the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
And let me tell you, time, you think time on a treadmill feels like it's not moving? Try doing a Super Bowl that's a blowout, and you know that the audience is the biggest of the year, and your network is hanging everything they have on it, and the game's not competitive. So, you know, but we also then followed that up with 28-3 midway through, with the Falcons leading the Patriots, and the Patriots came back and won the game in overtime. So you can't give up on the game. And heck, Kansas City's been down 24-0 in the second quarter this year, two rounds ago against Houston, and they were winning at halftime. So it's, you just have to stay in it and not worry about the blowout. But when you get it, that's when all the research and all the work kind of comes into play. Hopefully I don't have to get into any of that stuff.
It would be amiss of us to not talk baseball with you. You're synonymous with the sport. Going into next season, how does baseball fix this?
Well, I would be really interested to see. First of all, they haven't handed down the punishments to the Boston Red Sox, and I would be really interested to know how pervasive this issue is. I think it's naive to think that it was only one organization doing it when there's so much player movement, and guys are on the Astros one day and they could be in the Rangers bullpen the next day and pitching against those guys. So I think it's a little more all over Major League Baseball than I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I didn't know any of that. You know, it seems silly, but it seems so rudimentary to have a guy banging on a trash can with a bat.
It really does. It's bring the noise, bring the funk. Yeah,
like all of a sudden you're at like the Blue Man Group or Stomp, and a baseball game breaks out. But I just don't know. I don't know how many teams are doing it. I haven't heard a ton of complaints. I mean, everybody kind of raises an eyebrow, but I just think that this is more of a big deal. How do they fix it? My partner, John Smoltz, on Major League Baseball thinks they should go to an earpiece, and maybe that's the best way.
The catcher and the pitcher.
Oh, so there's no more signs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
there's no more signs. And you go, well, that's ridiculous. Well, they do it in the NFL, and nobody seems to have any problem with it. Now you're going to have to get used to that. And maybe that's something that starts in the minor leagues. The real problem is not only is there, you know, is it so far across the line and brutal for the game, but it slows everything down because everybody's paranoid. So even when nobody's on base, they're going through a set of signs to tell the pitcher what to throw, and everything's stagnant. So they need to figure out a way to eliminate the paranoia, and if they can get rid of the paranoia by these teams, then I think it also speeds up the game. But it's really far across the line, and it just leaves a bad taste, I think, in everybody's mouths.
Agreed.
Looking back on those postseasons.
Yep.
Joe, I have to ask you this question. I know you've been asked it 1,000 times, and you've heard the clip 1,000 times, but I did see the clip again of you calling a touchdown while peeing. And if you don't mind indulging me for 1 second, this is Joe Buck.
Sharp touchdown, Packers.
And you made that call while peeing.
Yeah. You know, I think what people don't realize is along with being a human pinata on social media, we also have functions we have to perform.
No way. Sure.
You know, eating, you know, taking on fluids and then getting rid of fluids. So it depends on what stadium you're in. Sometimes it's no big deal. But that was a game in old Milwaukee County Stadium, and where the broadcast booth was, you had to do like a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible thing to go down to the bathroom, and the half wouldn't end. And so I was either going to collapse out of absolute agony, or I kicked everybody out of the booth. I was wearing a parka because it was freezing, and after they handed me a little bottle of water, like I was an empty bottle, water bottle, mm-hmm. I knocked that away and brought the trash can over. And yeah, it's a really classy story. It's called me writing a book and being way too honest.
Worth every dollar, Joe Buck.
Absolutely.
Man. Super Bowl announcer, Joe Buck.
Absolutely.
Yes, that will not be the case on Sunday, as there is a bathroom literally right outside the door.
Beautiful.
You had them. You had to make that change right after that call?
Just still check all your water bottles, Joe.
Yeah, all of that is true, and yes, that's the first thing I check when I go in and make sure that I'm not going to have to do any sprinting or, you know, rappelling to get to the
That would be awesome if you had to rappel. Joe Buck, we always appreciate your time. You're always kind to come on the show. We really appreciate it, and good luck on Sunday, and say hi to your family.
I will. I definitely will, and I will. I'm going to have fun on Sunday. Keep reminding myself of that.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate it.
Bye, Joe.
This is Kevin in the Morning on K-Rock.
You know, I find that hard to believe.
106.7 KROQ FM.
Jensen, why can you not stop chewing your hands off?
To be honest, I don't know. It's so embarrassing because I'm able to have restraint towards everything else in my life. Mm-hmm. I've never truly dealt with an addiction.
It is kind of a gross thing.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. I've been doing it since before I could remember. I don't even think I know when I started. Probably kindergarten.
Well, you have OCD.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Was it part of that?
And I guess at this point, I admit that I have no understanding of it. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to bring it up on the show, is that it was supposed to be my New Year's resolution. I did great for about 20 days. And I even started to grow pretty long nails. I think I showed you guys. Mm-hmm. I was pretty impressed with how strong they still were for a guy who's picked at him his whole life.
I wanted you to go for that 4-inch nail thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, I wanted that.
Coke nails on all of them?
Yes, like, yes, all of them.
Edward Scissorhands of Coke?
Yep.
Yeah, I was into that. But I don't know. I'm embarrassed. I can't believe that I'm unable to do it. And that's why I wanted to open it up not only to you, but to listeners who feel that they've conquered biting their fingernails. They could call in 1-800-520-1067. Or I just look to you two as my spiritual guides.
Wow, you have it rough then if you're looking at me and Muggs.
I can't fix this.
I mean, I do have a little experience in this arena. Mm-hmm. I used to bite my nails constantly.
But your toenails, that's very different.
Look, if I could bite my toenails, I'd be doing other things before I could reach my toenails.
Hello!
Anyway, so that kind of moved on to doing my cuticles. Mm-hmm. And then for a year, I would just chew and not. Like, it was so bad, like, to the point, like, I still have a little.
Like, you have remnants of cuts?
Remnants of, yeah. Wow. And then all I did to really get over it, and this is not great. But now I just twizzle my beard. I think it's just a nervous habit.
I've seen you twizzle your beard so many times. Like, what is he doing?
It's insane. And like,
do you have to be doing something with your hands? Is that part of it?
I don't know what it is. It's like, Jensen, I don't know what it is. And I'll see myself doing this. I wouldn't even realize it. But like, sometimes there'll be a camera in the studio and I'll be in the background and I'll just be twizzling my beard. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing that?
And you
that?
Think that's replaced you biting your nails?
I think it has. It's just something to do.
So Muggs' suggestion is to move my addiction somewhere else.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Still have an addiction.
So maybe I take up smoking?
Yeah, pick it up.
Okay, I think it's not too late for that.
It is true that I guess I don't even know I'm doing it.
I was going to say, is it one of those things where you realize after you've been doing it for 10 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, what? I've been...
Well, when I grew out longer nails and I looked like one of the lead singers of SWV, I started to bite on it and I would go, oh, there's a nail there. Does that make... Like, I would almost feel a nail for the first time and go, oh, it's right, I'm not biting them.
Oh, I see.
So that helped.
Because they didn't used to be there because you bit them all the time.
Yeah, it was like I felt the pride almost mm-hmm. in my mouth. Oh, cool. You know, and then I had to stop. But for some reason, then it just broke down. Then one you know, snagged, and then I bit that one off, and then next thing you know, well, I already bit one off, and now I'm moving on to a second, and then it's just out of control. I've lost.
You can't, literally can't stop.
Yeah, they do have.
Don't they have something they put on it that tastes horrible?
Yes, they have this, like, it's this nail polish stuff that you can put on.
Which I've never done.
And, oh, maybe you should try it.
And I would love to.
It's supposed to have, like, an extremely bitter, like, sour taste that you know. When you put your fingernail in your mouth, you're, oh, wait.
Yeah, because I even tried to put poop on my fingers.
What? Like,
I would take,
I'm sorry, what?
I would take my, no, I'm kidding. But wouldn't it be great if I took my poop?
By the way, it would totally work, too.
I know. I would
it would 100% work.
I'd also have no friends.
Do that over the weekend. Let's try that over the weekend and see if it works.
Or family. I'd have no family. But yeah, I guess it's just, I've never smoked. I've never done anything like that. And this is just an addiction I can't lose.
And it's a little embarrassing because
extremely.
It's gross.
It's like I'm a 5-year-old.
Yeah. Let's take a call. Let's go to Jake in Redondo Beach. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you.
So my 7-year-old, I have 4 kids, and he's my youngest, and he has a terrible nail biting problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays a lot of sports, and we got this stuff called Nail Bite, or No Bite, and it's like a nail polish you put on, and it makes your nails taste like absolute crap if you bite them.
Oh, that is called No Bite.
No Bite. And also, I want to remind you that he's talking to a 40-year-old trying to kick the same habit as a 7-year-old.
Yeah,
that's just something I need to point out.
And it's did it work or not work?
It did work. It worked amazingly. And I actually have a buddy who, his whole entire life, he was biting his nails real bad, and he's my age. He's 34, 35. And he wound up using it himself, and it worked for him, too.
All right. No Bite. I'm writing it down, and I will buy it on Amazon today.
Look at that.
I would, honestly.
Make sure you get the more expensive one, though, because that's the one that really tastes like crap. There's a cheap one, like at CVS, stuff like that, it doesn't work as well.
The cheap one tastes like strawberries.
It's actually really tasty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
it actually encourages you to chew your nails.
Bite the whole nail off.
Yeah, crazy.
Jake clearly works for No Bite.
All right. Thank you, Jake. No,
mm-hmm. All right, boss. That's good.
See you, bud. Thank you.
Take care. Appreciate it. All right. You're going to do that over the weekend?
I
would rather you did the poop thing first.
Well, all right. I'll try poop, and then I'll move on to No Bite, and then we'll see what happens.
Perfect.
It's Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen on K-Rock.
The world famous
K-Rock.
Chuck and Colleen, it bears repeating, it doesn't get any higher. That travel alert is level 4 or red.
It's level 4 or red.
Everyone, let's get out of here. Let's go home. We shouldn't even be here.
Dr. Mo, welcome to the show.
Uh-oh. I'm right here.
Oh, okay. I thought he died. Yeah. I thought we lost him.
I thought you died to coronavirus.
Oh, God.
Did you hear that it's level 4 and it's red?
Yes, level 4 and red.
Right.
We're waiting for like level 6 of the chartreuse or something.
Now, we talked to Dr. Drew and he dismissed this. So we're coming to you as our second doctor.
We need a second opinion.
We need a real answer on we are going to die from coronavirus or we are not. And our guess is we are.
You guys do this so often. It's hilarious. When you don't listen to Dr. Drew, then you call me like 2005. You did the same with bird flu.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, because he was wrong on that.
As you know, that was also red. That was a level 5.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and where was the bird flu epidemic?
It's a very good question.
Okay, so what do you need to know about coronavirus?
Okay.
I can calm you down.
Here's what started. Mm-hmm. Calm us down. That's he's trying to keep us controlled.
Right. He's the big bird flu.
He's the man.
Okay, so here's our first problem. Nicole Alvarez, a DJ here at K-Rock, was in the actual city.
In Wuhan.
In Wuhan. Mm-hmm. And she came back here literally during the same exact time, came into the studio, had a cough, didn't feel well, left, went to the doctor yesterday. This is an update for everyone who's listening. She was told by a doctor she doesn't have it, but we don't believe that doctor either.
Right.
So we're calling you now because we think we've been infected.
Okay.
Let me just say this. She was in the city of Wuhan the day before they quarantined it.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay?
What's going on? We're dying, right?
None of the news reports say that every single person in Wuhan is getting the virus.
No, but it's the entire city is quarantined, sir.
Right.
Well, yes. And part of this is a little bit of panic. I'll just give you an example. Have you seen those images on television where they show people in China, like, walking along the side of the road, spraying some sort of misty, like, thing?
Yes. They're clearly disinfecting, trying to stay alive.
And they're wearing masks.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
What? Why are we wearing masks?
My point is, why would they be spraying the side of the road with a white thing for a respiratory virus? I mean, it just doesn't make any earthly sense. It's all show. Hmm. Now, I don't want to.
Dr. Mo is big coronavirus.
Yeah.
That's what's happening right now.
Yeah, I don't. No, it's seriously. It is a good idea for us to realize how important infectious disease is and how scary it can be. But on the other hand, you kind of got to look at it in perspective. Everybody's going nuts because, what, there's, as of last night, 213 people dead and 9,000 cases, six in the United States. And, yeah, so everybody's, you know, the World Health Organization is getting involved. It is a serious thing because it's a new virus that looks to be contagious, and we're trying to figure out to make sure it doesn't get worse. But remember,
also, it's level four and it's red.
Yeah.
I know, which okay. is fine, but wash your goddamn hands. Okay, how many people died yesterday from the flu in the United States?
Well, I don't know that because it's not level five red, and I don't have to spray the sidewalk when I'm walking.
Don't you think that if 8,000 to 20,000 people have died since October from the flu, there should be something code red somewhere?
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
So you're saying between 8 and 20,000 people died yesterday alone from the flu?
No, since October. Oh, 75 since October. A day from the flu in this country.
Wow.
You see my point?
From the bird flu?
Bird flu never happened. SARS in 2003, 8,000 people in the world got sick. Only 700 died. Only 8 in the United States ever even had laboratory evidence. Remember how people went nuts about SARS and you couldn't travel anywhere? That's 8 people in the United States. So,
oh, and that's a good number for you, huh?
Yes, they didn't get that sick.
What about killer bees, though, Dr. Mo? I should still be afraid of killer bees, right?
Dude, I don't like bees. Okay. I'm with you. Bees make me nervous.
All right,
so, no, I'm on your side there. But I do agree. The coronavirus, people are going nuts. People walk into doctors' offices, and they're like, well, I don't want any of them damn flu vaccines, but you got one of them coronavirus vaccines? I'll take one of them. It is absolutely insane.
Because level four or red.
So Dr. Mo is saying, if we're afraid of anything, be afraid of the flu, which I'm fine with because as long as I get to move my neuroses to another thing.
I see. So it's not something new. It's something that we know.
Right.
Yeah. So you're fine. Go ahead and be neurotic about that. But actually, going back to Nicole, how many people get off a plane flight and don't feel so good?
Everyone, in general.
Yeah.
Right. So the fact that she came from Wuhan City means everybody on that plane, because they feel bad, has coronavirus?
Right.
It's a much better chance than those of us that are sitting here in Los Angeles.
And, yes, she was in the city.
Yeah.
She was in the city.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying, put it in perspective. Is she fine right now?
Let's hear some perspective from the news again.
Reserved for only the most dangerous situations. The virus is spreading, and as we're witnessing, so is the fear.
The virus is spreading.
Tonight, the path into Bradley International Terminal at LAX could be confused with a hospital ward.
Triple caution, I think.
Masks to keep away the coronavirus.
At LAX, it could be confused for a hospital ward, Dr. Mo.
I'm shaking my head so hard right now.
Did you hear that? Can you hear the news audio that I'm playing?
I'm openly weeping here.
All right, hold on.
Lots of masks on hand and just vitamins.
Okay, so she's vitamins. So she's using a mask and vitamins.
She's running a Whole Foods.
Well, now you're helping my point. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Across the globe, we're up to 9,000 confirmed cases, 200 deaths worldwide.
200 deaths worldwide, and you don't care, Dr. Mo. That's what you're saying.
And Mo, I got this email telling me that someone has it around me. You've seen this email that I got.
My son's school had a coronavirus hoax yesterday where it sent everybody into a panic, and the principal had a mass email everybody going, it's just a hoax. This madness that it's causing. And
please tell me that was your son. Please tell me your son started that. That would be the greatest thing in the world.
It would be the greatest
thing in the world.
No, I didn't. I can probably say my son is way too smart for that. But seriously, That's kind of horrifying that people do that.
Yeah, it's terrible. Okay, so Dr. Mo is saying be afraid of the flu instead, that there's thousands and thousands of more deaths than with the coronavirus. And I guess what I'm thinking is, and I appreciate what he's saying, but do you think he would lie to us because then all the doctors know and then they're the only ones who survive?
So the doctors see the panic.
Yes.
And they try to calm the public with anything they can, any lies they want to tell.
And then they're the only ones that can save themselves.
Yes.
Are we on you, Dr. Mo?
You're
in league with Dr. Drew, aren't you?
Yeah, it's just the doctors.
Just the doctors are going to be the only ones left.
You, Dr. Drew, Dr. Mario, Dr. Demento, Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre's going to own California, and then you'll get to pick. I see how this works. So you're saying the chances of us getting the coronavirus are high.
That's exactly.
Thank you, Dr. Mo.
That's what you're saying?
We got him to where we wanted.
All right, good. Thank you for taking the time today. I know you do.
Rest
not
in peace.
Sure why. Rest in peace.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock. Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. Carol QFM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Muggs is in.
Yes, so this is the time of the week where we bring you our picks for new music, or it could be older music that we want you to hear, depending on what's going on with the world right now. It is our That's My Jam playlist, which you can find over at krock.com. Everybody on the show picks it. We, you know, Old Man Ruben, Destiny picks one, Dave, Christine. We're going to start off with Kevin. Who's your pick?
My pick is Maggie Miles. Her name is Maggie Miles. She's a 20-year-old singer-songwriter from Western Hills of Northern Virginia. She was raised there on 70s rock, and she moved, like a lot of people do, to Nashville, even if they're not into country music. Nashville is a music city.
It is.
Named Music City. I don't sound dumb, but she did go there, and she says that 90s grunge has a major source of inspiration for her, which is weird because this sounds quite disco-ish.
Hmm.
But I love the song. It's Maggie Miles, and it's called Belief. Sound a lot like 90s grunge.
Not really. Yeah. Kind of more party dance.
Sort of dance party.
Poppy, a little bit.
I'm into
that was
it.
Good, though.
Maggie Miles is
Maggie
her
name. Miles.
All right.
Jensen, what
yes.
do you got?
Very excited for a band called Glass Beach. They are out of Los Angeles. They are college nerds. They met as college radio DJs. They have a brand new album out, and I was super into it. I didn't know much about them. What I do... people who are always looking to figure out how I hear new music, I usually just download everything that's a new release for the week, give it at least 5-20 minutes, even if I don't know who they are.
5 to 20 minutes?
Yeah, and then if I don't like it, I'm out. But if I like it, I keep it and then revisit it and listen to the whole
album. Wow, that's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time,
okay.
But I like music.
Love it, yeah.
And you can see why it pays off with a song like this. It's from Glass Beach called Bedroom Community. It's kind of has like a post-emo, almost like pop punk, but very 80s vibe to it. And I love it. And all their music kind of sounds like this. So this is Glass Beach.
She gets up to shut the bedroom door. Behind her, she stands right beside her. She shuts it.
Hard to stand out these days as being something that you sort of haven't heard anywhere.
It has a little bit of early Panic in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And kind of meets Broadway, dare I say?
Yes.
And it's got the punk rock double bass.
Yeah.
I like it.
Anyway, I like them very much. That is Glass Beach from LA.
Thank you, Jensen. My pick I wanted to kind of dedicate to the unfortunate events that happened this week with Kobe and everybody else on that terrible helicopter crash. So I picked a song by Public Enemy, which was off of the He Got Game soundtrack, In 1998. Did you guys see that movie?
Oh, yeah. That movie starring Ray Allen.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I guess Jensen was telling me off air that this song that I picked, He Got Game, from mm-hmm. the title of the movie, was loosely inspired by Allen Iverson. But I picked it, of course, because of Kobe. And you'll hear in it a sample of the very famous song from the 60s, Vietnam era, Buffalo Springfield's For What It's Worth. This is He Got Game by Public Enemy.
It might feel good, it might sound a little something, but damn the game if it don't mean nothing. What is game? Who got game? Where's the game in life? Behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game, he got game. It might feel good, it might sound a little something, but the game if it ain't saying nothing. Something happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear.
So, yeah, that's right.
Great soundtrack.
That is. So you can find all of those picks on our Spotify playlist on krock.com. I hope you enjoy them.
You can also get it on our socials at Kevin Mornings.
Yep.
There it is. Today's celebrity birthdays: Portia de Rossi, Justin Timberlake, Kerry Washington, Minnie Driver, Nolan Ryan, Hall of Fame pitcher, Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols, formerly of Saturday Night Live, Bobby Moynihan, and Marcus Mumford. And that's what's happening.
This is Kevin in the Morning.
Kevin in the Morning.
The world famous K-Rock.
K-Rock.
So Sunday is the second biggest food day after Thanksgiving. Continuous eating pretty much all day long.
Love it.
It makes sense.
After Thanksgiving.
It's the day I would least use a public toilet.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over
you
Thanksgiving.
You never use a toilet.
No, I wouldn't. You're
public
right.
Toilet.
You have called that out.
And Super Bowl parties are usually fun.
They're usually fun.
It depends on who's throwing them.
Right.
Right.
We had a friend one time who had the TV not working.
Oh!
And we all got up. We were like, we're leaving.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I can get it. I was like, well, you didn't check it? You don't think like that's an important part of it? And last year, there was a guy who didn't eat food but drank and then slept through the game.
That's and awesome.
We were like, yeah.
I envy that dude.
Do you?
Yeah, it sounds great.
He really wanted to see the game, though, is the problem with that.
Yeah, well, he didn't. I remember one year, it was when the Seahawks blew out the Broncos, 43-8.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. That's the year that I remember something terrible happening at a Super Bowl party.
Well, that's what we're looking for, is Super Bowl party disasters. 1-800-520-1067. You get a bunch of friends together, someone always does something bad, and it just devolves into chaos.
Yeah.
So I think when the game is good, people are focused on it, and that way things don't really go haywire. But this game, no one was paying attention to at a certain point. People were just getting drunker and drunker. And I was like, what? Why do people even stay? Like, just leave. Just go home. You don't need to stay here to just drink. Like, you could go home and stop watching a game, but everyone was almost like a glutton for punishment. And at one point, I saw it all happen in front of me. A dude spilled his beer on another guy. And I was like, oh, that's stupid. And I figured we're all at like a friend's house. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you just go, oh, sorry. And then maybe even ask your friend if you have an extra shirt or something. But these dudes just started screaming at each other, pushing, and it were like almost like people had to like block. You know how like when there's a fight in a house, they're like, "Oh, not on the china," and like people start sort of surrounding.
Don't fight here, fight there.
Yeah, like surrounding them to push them out of the room, and that started to happen. And then the party ended. Everyone get out. Everyone left. All because the game was like a total routing.
Yeah,
and I think that's pretty much what sets the tone.
I can see that. Also, if you're rooting for the team that's getting blown out, it's so much worse.
Oh, you're the worst. I mean, so and you're sitting there in their jersey.
Yes.
And you're like, go, Denver. Go, guys.
I diverted a crisis and a disaster from happening at last year's
I don't believe
Super
that's ever happened.
No, I
can't
have.
Can't believe that's out of your
mouth. Because I was the more adult person.
That's never
I mean,
happened.
I can't believe you're even pretending that you were adult more than anyone else.
Last year, it was. The minute I showed up, big party, probably about 40 people. One of the guys knows of me. We're not friends.
Muggs walks in and everybody's like, oh, the adult's here.
And, of course, it was Rams and Patriots. He's a Patriots fan. I'm a Rams fan. And right away, like, without even like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, hey, what's up, man? He's like, yeah, Rams suck. You lose. Yeah, Patriots, bro. I'm like, oh, all right.
And cool, I'm sure you handled that perfectly.
I'm like, yeah, good luck to your team. And
right.
That's what you said.
And then the game.
Hold on. You're telling us that that's what happened.
I believe that. Because he's so off. Like, sports fans can be so aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, I would immediately be like, dude, just get away. Yeah. Let's have a fun Super Bowl party, you weirdo.
So you haven't had time to work up anger yet.
Right.
No.
Not yet. And right out of the gate, I was getting like a chip in a dip. He was like, yeah, you're stupid. You're going to lose. I'm like, okay, dude. All right.
I do love that you're stupid.
Like it has something to
I do love that.
It has something to do with mugs. They're going to lose because of mugs. Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, we're watching the game.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You are stupid. But I'm saying it's a weird thing to say. Mm-hmm.
So we're watching the game, and then I feel a soccer ball hit me in the back, like hard.
He threw it or he kicked it?
He threw it.
No.
And randomly. And he's like, he throws it, and it's like, remember in Billy Madison, like, O'Doyle rules!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same kind of, like, look on his face. I'm like,
were you the only Rams fan there?
No!
Why was he picking on you, then?
Because he thinks I'm, like, a bitch or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like prison rules. Biggest guy. Walk up to the toughest-looking dude. Rams suck, dude!
So then, at the end of the game was a lackluster game. Yes. I mean, it was like a 10-7. It was like, that was the final score, right?
Yeah.
He comes up to me, and he runs his shoulder to as if he's going to try to tackle me.
What are you? Who is
this? And he
this?
Hits me, like, in the upper rib cage.
How did you not punch him in the face?
Because
he's an adult.
Right,
so,
right.
So what? I grab him, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, man, it's fine, right?
Was he just wasted?
Yeah. And I'm like, dude. And then I got quiet, and there was...
You don't want mugs quiet,
there was,
man.
Like, he
brings the heat.
I was I was steaming. I was like... Do I want to kick his ass right now,
or should I wait? He's gonna get his ass kicked.
Like,
but when?
Should I just be cool? Because like I'm at my buddy's house, his daughters are there. He's got a huge family. I'm like, so I just kind of just let it calm down. But
thank God you're such an adult.
I was an adult.
Again, I want to acknowledge he is the quiet adult and very calm.
Yes,
mind. Yes.
Well,
yes.
It averted a crisis and
you
a
did
disaster.
Good. You
which
did great.
That's your role in life is averting crises.
But I mean, I was
crises.
I was pissed.
Well,
I can
you
imagine.
Did the right thing. Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take your calls 1-800-520-1067. David, you hold on. David had a guy who slept through the game and woke up on the last play of the game
and said, "What's the score?"
And somehow ruined it. So we'll take his call next on K-Rock.
It's Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. K-Rock.
All right, we are talking about the Super Bowl party disasters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It seems like whenever there's a huge party, there's so much more chance of a disaster happening.
Yeah. People not being adults.
Right.
Oh,
like me.
The supervisor.
Right.
Yeah.
The narc.
Mm-hmm.
David in NoHo, thank you for calling. Thanks for holding on. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. So
our Super Bowl disaster was, I think, 2000 when the Titans were playing the Rams. And we were at this girl's house. We were all there together. We had all been partying the night before. And we watched the game, which was a super exciting game, if you recall. And it all came down to that one last play.
Oh, when he was trying to reach across the goal line? Yes.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. That one.
Yep.
And so we're all, like, on the edge of our seats. We've all been watching this whole game. And the girl who's hosting the party, she had gone to take a nap because we were all hungover. And she comes out in her bathrobe as the ball is about to be snapped for that final famous play, and she, like, yawns and goes, "What's the score?" And she kicks out the TV cord right before the ball gets
snapped. Oh, my God.
Nope.
And that was the host?
And, like, the entire room is like, no!
That was the host of the party.
It was the host of the party.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a party. It was just, like, 10 people who had been partying at her house, like, the night before, and we all just decided to stay around for the party. But she kicked out the cord for that last play, so none of us knew how the play worked out. We finally got the TV plugged back in, the cable rebooted, and the whole stadium is celebrating. There's confetti, but we couldn't tell who won.
That's awesome.
That's kind of cool. It's better than seeing it, really.
Missing it is better.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
That's fantastic. Thank you, David, for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Laguna Hills. Say good morning to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. We're talking about Super Bowl party disasters.
Yeah, I got one that's not actually from a party. It's from the night before.
Okay.
We had a big guys trip out to Palm Springs. And, you know, Saturday night we went out. And then two of our guys didn't come home.
What?
So all Sunday morning, yeah. We didn't know where they were. So all Sunday morning we were looking for them, hangover style.
Oh, no.
where were they? I mean, did you guys care or just watch the game? Yeah. Whatever.
I'm looking for them until 3:20 p.m.
Yeah, kickoff.
And then I'm going right back in and watching the game.
Yeah.
Well, luckily we were out looking for them, but we eventually found them.
Oh,
you know.
Well, where were they? I mean, it seems like you're underselling the idea that you lost two friends.
Well, what happened was is that we found them at they found a 24-hour spa. So they were completely, they were completely wasted. They fell asleep in the spa.
That's the worst ending to a story ever.
I mean, actually, it kind of sounds nice.
fell asleep in a spa.
We were looking for them for hours all morning, and we were calling and doing their phones were cut, or not cut, but turned off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We just were losing our minds. So it felt like a movie hangover.
I'm so angry at them.
The true party animals at the spa.
I'm so angry at them falling asleep in the spa while you guys look. All right, let's go to Jack in Irvine. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, how's it going?
Can't help but notice all the colors on this topic are male.
Our dudes, yeah.
All right, Jack, what happened?
During middle school, we were having a Super Bowl party at one of my friends' houses. All the kids are in the basement. The parents are upstairs. They completely forget about a pizza they threw in the oven with the box. It lights on fire.
Yes.
They pull it out of the oven, set it on the countertop to try to put it out, lights the paper towels on fire, and they're too drunk to figure out what to do. So we got to watch the end of the Super Bowl from the backyard. And this was like 95.
Was the house literally on fire?
Yeah. Part of the kitchen lit up. They lost a cabinet or two.
He has no pizza experience.
So you guys literally just, even though the house is burning, you just stepped outside and watched the end of the game?
Well, it's back in Connecticut. Like, we're all freezing our butts off, but we don't have cell phones back then. It was 95.
Hmm.
Did your buddy say, it's not delivery, it's Inferno?
What? So stupid.
I don't even think DiGiorno was around back then.
This is Kevin in the Morning.
Kevin in the Morning.
The world famous K-Rock.
K-Rock.
Buddies, this time.
Yes.
We do keep it 100.
Every week.
Keep it 100.
Well, you guys, we ask you to text in. We look for 100, but there's always the ones who come really close.
Mm-hmm.
Like 99 from Savannah, Robert, from Savannah, Georgia. Wow. Oh, that's actually our 100.
That is our 100.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. I'm so happy because this song is good. I was like, what's going on? 99, Faith No More, Easy from Billy in Huntington Beach. Also, 101 was Trippin' on a Hole in a Paper by Stone Temple Pilots, which I love very much.
Yeah.
That was from Sergio, but our caller 100 can only be one person.
And it's Robert from Savannah, Georgia. Good morning, Robert.
Morning, guys.
Thanks for streaming us.
I've already ruined what the song is.
Yeah.
But I feel like he can sell it better than I did.
Listen, I love Mother. It is an awesome rock song. It gets me going on the weekend. And I think it's a song that I heard first on K-Rock. I've listened to it for years. It's great.
Do you text every week? Or is this the first time you've tried it?
No, I used to text only Sam the Armenian Comedian songs,
right.
And then you
right.
guys said you're going to have vetoes.
We have one
so
veto each. No, but here's the thing. We have one veto each, but once we use it, it's gone.
It's gone forever.
Well, then I'm going right back to Sam the Armenian Comedian.
No, too late. It's already been decided.
Here's the thing, though, is that I won't deny him because I love Sam.
Well,
I'm the only one in this room.
I have a feeling.
Me and Robert are the only two people that love Sam.
I have a feeling one of us would. Well, give us the intro, Robert.
All right, here we go. This is Mother by Danzig on K-Rock.
I love it.
That's great.
A little Danzig.
Uh-huh.
For Keep It 100. Congratulations. Thanks for calling. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Steve-O.
Yeah, dude.
Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen on K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
I graduated from Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Clown College, which was statistically harder to get into than Harvard. So naturally, I was very proud of my acceptance. When I was going to clown college, my cousin was going to mortician school, and our mothers were intensely debating whose son was a bigger loser. I introduced Johnny Knoxville to my cousin one time, and old Knoxville said to him, "You ever, you know, with a dead body?" And my cousin just went, "I don't know what that means, man."
You do know what that means, Steve-O.
Yay!
Yeah!
Steve-O is here.
Woo! Yeah, dude.
How are you, man?
I'm very well, thank you, man. It's great to be here. I love you guys so much.
Thank you.
Happy to have you.
This is your second home. We're happy to have you anytime.
I feel like there's nothing that Steve-O can do in his life that could shock me at this point. Like, I'm so desensitized to the things he's doing.
Because crazy life from the beginning.
Yeah, he's done everything. Yeah. And then he came in here and he said, "Oh, you guys, just so you know, I'm a tattoo apprentice now." Like, yeah. You're tattooing.
Uh-huh. I know. It was just like a crazy thing. I was like, for a YouTube video, like, I'll give awful tattoos, you know, that nobody would ever want, except with the caveat being I'll try so hard. And I proved to be, like, for me doing tattoos, shockingly good at it.
You are. Was that a disappointment? Because the whole idea behind it was to be bad at it.
Well, I mean, to give bad tattoos. Like the guy who said, "Oh, I want a tattoo." And I said, "Great." I forget what the options I gave him were. Like some satanic thing or Tekashi 6ix9ine.
He left the option up to you?
I gave him the option.
You gave him two.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
One guy said, "You can have a tribal tramp stamp."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or, I forget. I don't know. But yeah, I just gave, like, you know.
Ridiculous. Both are ridiculous.
But you're better than you should be.
I'm considerably.
You're really good at it.
Considerably better than I should be. I mean, I don't think I'm a good tattoo artist, but for Steve-O doing it, yeah, it's surprising.
So what are you doing for it now? Like, you're.
I've got my buddy down in San Diego, and he's sort of my guru.
Sure.
And he teaches me how to do it. And I thought, man, this would be just like kind of a cool thing to do. I want to get licensed. And then so I found out that a tattooer's license needs to be tied to a place of business, but that business can be an RV. So I just bought like a full-on RV.
Awesome. I like the way you work. So, you know what? I want to be a professional, but to be a professional, I need to get an RV. Let's get an RV.
So is the plan to do it out of the RV?
Yeah.
Steve-O, that is great.
RV tattoo.
Isn't that like kind of a cool idea of like for a format for like a little web series or
yes,
whatever?
Yes, of course.
You know,
absolutely.
Like, I'll just go cruising around and.
Are you looking for people to get tattoos in your
own? I don't have to look, dude. People are begging me. It's crazy, like, the because I'll post when I do a tattoo. Mm-hmm. So I've made it known that I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And that there has proven to be an insane demand for Steve-O tattoos.
I'm sure. Muggs, would you get one?
Abso-frickin-lutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Christine, would you be down?
Okay, do you want Pee Wee Herman in a movie theater doing his thing.
Good. I thought you were like, hold on.
Or Butthead pooping into Beavis's mouth.
Those are two great choices. Two great choices.
I didn't know he was going to give you two classes.
I mean,
also, it's on your neck.
Whoa. I mean, look, huge Pee Wee Herman fan and huge Beavis and Butthead fan. Mm-hmm.
By the way, these are the ones I was thinking about getting for myself.
Oh, then I don't want to take them from you.
Because my tattoo guru and I, our next step is to tattoo each other, perhaps at the same time. And I was with my girl last night in the hot tub. Mm-hmm. We were throwing ideas back and forth, and those were my two favorites.
Those are the two that you came up with?
Well, yeah, whatever he doesn't take, Muggs.
Look.
I kind of want to get a bear wiping his butt with a rabbit. But I feel like that's
We've all had that dream.
I feel like that's not animal friendly.
Or maybe a bear pooing in the woods.
Right.
That's not
or
enough,
a
though.
Shark pooing in the ocean.
There you go. That's better. That's better.
Well, I think we could try to set that
so
up.
So you literally just tried it and were so much better than you thought at it.
Right. I mean, it takes some time. Like my first pass, not very good.
Okay.
Like when you wipe away the ink, you know, after the first pass, like I tend to discover that it's like not even really in there. And
Who did you do that on that was like, yeah, keep
the
going.
The first time.
Yeah. Who was your test subject?
Well, I've had so many people show, like at all my shows, I do a meet and greet with the entire audience. So people will show up and come through the meet and greet line with a tattoo gun. They'll be like, I'll just do it.
They'll bring you a tattoo gun.
Yeah, they'll bring it for me.
Wow.
And so I was doing, I said, okay, you know, it gets late. I said, okay, I'm going to try and do this as fast as possible.
And this was the first time you ever tried it on human skin?
No. The first time I ever tattooed human skin was, like, I don't know, maybe 2006.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Oh, wait, no, 2005, and I misspelled my own name.
How did you spell it?
Estevo.
Different times.
Yeah.
It's Hispanic Stevo.
Well, because the thing is that when you're tattooing, like when the machine hits the skin, a lot of the time the ink kind of goes everywhere. Uh-huh. So you can't see where the needle's actually getting under the skin because it's this big mess of ink. And so then when you wipe it away, I wiped it away and it said, I was like, oh, I could have forgotten E in there. But the first pass, it tends to just be, I got to keep going over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And like, so I'm really not that good, but I'm proficient at not putting the needle where it shouldn't be.
Okay.
So what it is I have to keep going over and over and over, but it gets
there eventually.
It takes me longer, but I get there.
That seems like it's a real specialty in art. Like, that really seems hard to just pick up.
I'm just sticking with it.
10,000 hours.
Steve showed us some of the pictures
it's
of it.
It's pretty good.
And they're good.
They're really good.
You wouldn't think it's like a novice doing this.
No, he's getting there.
Well, thanks, man.
Is this like a big thing in your life? I had read that when, you know, you're turning in your 40s, and you're in your 40s. Is getting things off your list, like this tour, this bucket list tour, is that on your mind to do things you've never done before?
Getting things off my list, yes. I feel like in a general sense, being in my 40s, you know, I'm 45 now, mm-hmm. and I feel like, okay, I'm running out of time before it gets creepy to watch me do these stunts.
I mean, honestly, that makes sense.
You know, like, and whether I am or not is besides the point. I just feel like, okay, I'm going all out. I'm gonna go, like, raise the bar crazier than ever. And what I've done sort of in, my entertainment career is I've just taken all of my world and melded them into one.
Mm-hmm.
So my live touring show at this point is it's like a comedy show doing a stand-up routine about like how I'm, you know, pushing the boundaries with these crazy stunts. Mm-hmm. And then after each bit in the show, I screen the footage of these stunts.
Of the stunt. Oh, I see.
So it plays sort of like a Jackass premiere / comedy show. So it's just this multimedia thing. And I could not be more thrilled.
It's awesome.
With how,
that sounds awesome.
I'm so excited.
To find out what was too much for Steve-O,
right, yeah,
seems like an event you'd want to go to.
Do you have an age at which you go, I think that's going to be creepy? Or you'll just figure it out when you get there?
I don't have an age in mind, and my body's still holding up.
Good.
Which is a miracle. Which,
yeah, by the way, like...
You've been bad to your body.
Yeah, you're terrible. And then you kick the drugs and the alcohol. You have never looked better. In my opinion.
Thank you.
You're like glowing. You have that glow.
It,
it's
Someone's
amazing.
Trying to get a tattoo.
Hey, look. By the way, back to the tattoo. You asked me Pee-wee or Beavis and Butthead. I think it's got to be artist's choice.
Sophie's
on this one.
Choice, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pick between the two.
I mean, look.
Too
Steve,
hard.
Whatever you want.
We can also keep spitballing.
Yeah, yeah,
there you
absolutely.
Go. That's what an artist does.
We follow each other on Instagram, so if you want to slide into my DMs
does.
Some images.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can Jensen and I pick as well?
We could be involved.
Just suggestions?
Yeah. We could get a little group. I think we all follow each other.
Yeah,
yes.
Great.
We could get a little group,
that's
group
awesome.
Chat going. But yeah, the bucket list, I threw on some shows in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
I have three of them this weekend.
That's, let me just... plug that for a second. It's tonight,
yeah,
Friday
tonight
at 8 p.m.
Okay.
Tonight sold out.
And then tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the early one sold out. So
at 8 and 10.
Only,
you're not letting me plug your thing, man.
I know, dude.
There's
I'm
only
sorry.
One they could buy tickets to right now.
It's going
to
be at the Ice House in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 10 p.m. tomorrow night.
Yes.
And dude, give it a shot.
Just give it a shot.
Can people bring a tattoo gun?
Well, no, I have my own gear now.
Oh, nice. So it's tomorrow night, 10 p.m., right?
Yeah.
At the Ice House. Go see Steve-O and the pranks that were too much to do for him.
I mean, it really, really, like these ideas I had for the longest time, I never thought they were going to happen. Like,
Tickets,
I explained the last time I was in here, I told you about the one where I fell out of the airplane 15,000 feet in the air simultaneously, mm-hmm. peeing white. And
yep.
by the way, I appropriated that from you, peeing white, as the radio safe term.
We did say that, yeah.
I do love, it's so colorful, peeing white.
Yeah,
we got it. We heard it. That should be the name of your autobiography.
You can get tickets. They're only $30. Shows are 21 and up. Go to icehousecomedy.com.
Steve-O, we love having you in. We love having you in.
Well, thank you, man. I love being here.
All right. Well, let's see about this tattoo.
Oh, I can't wait, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Thank you, man.
Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. Carol QFM.
K-Rock. Guys, it bums me out that we do the show 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, and people don't get to hear it all. In the future, there's got to be some scientific way for people to go back and listen to stuff they missed.
I'm sure science would work, but I think I'm just going to rap about it.
Been another 5 days on the radio, so I rhyme words on this beat you ought to know. Matter of fact, we had a visit from the great Steve-O. And Allie plays ping pong like she is a pro. We found out old man Ruben has a twitch. And Omar's daughter is a disappointing snitch. Russell Peters said hello, he was a gift. And for big game foods, we miss pizza on the list. We're cheering on the Chiefs because of Eric Stone Street. And if you're on an airplane, then cover your feet. Junior Mesa was a highlight, but I might be biased. Nicole Alvarez traveled and came back with a virus. Kevin had words with the Chinese food place, even though I bet he asked to have it sent to his place. With the tragedy this week, it's hard to ignore. Rest in peace, Gigi. And number 24.
Love that, love that.
A lot of stuff going on.
Allie is out today.
Yes.
With coronavirus, we believe.
Awesome.
Muggs is here to fill in for one last... What's happening?
Yeah, so Super Bowl Sunday coming up. And, of course, by the tragedies that happened this past one, we are learning that there are some ads that have been either edited or pulled. One of them featuring Chrissy Teigen and husband John Legend, a Hyundai Genesis commercial. They had a scene that contained a helicopter at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And they decided to take that out.
I can see that.
Makes sense.
That was too closely related. Also, Hard Rock International edited its first Super Bowl ad to remove scenes including Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that could be considered insensitive. So they are adjusting what's being played during Sunday's game.
It's super weird that everybody's sort of having to guess at that stuff. You assume people know what they're doing, but they don't really. They're just guessing. They don't want to be inappropriate.
It's better to be safe.
Yeah. Agreed.
Do you guys want to hear Elon Musk's new EDM song?
That's a facetious question, correct?
More than anything in life?
The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Do we have it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's play it, and then we'll just talk
this
about
it. This is Elon Musk is what you're saying.
This is Elon Musk.
Yes.
I can't understand you saying, don't doubt your vibe because it's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Please stop it. Please stop it.
I mean, it's really, you've heard the whole.
It's awful.
That's fantastic.
Okay.
So he dropped that.
Define fantastic.
He dropped that last night.
Define drop.
And he says, I wrote the lyrics and performed the vocals.
Okay, but that means he had a producer do everything.
Don't doubt your vibe, man.
Right. That's half of his song.
Yeah, Kevin, you're doubting the vibe right now.
Don't doubt your vibe.
I am. I'm doubting
the vibe. And the artwork for that song is his famous Cybertruck. So when he displayed it, when he debuted it, he tried to prove that the windows were indestructible by throwing a rock at it. And, well, those... windows smashed.
That was super hilarious.
On impact.
It would have been much cooler if the art was with the windows smashed.
So when it comes to Cybertrucks...
Muggs is not listening. He's literally not. Just rolling through the news.
What?
No,
am I a selective listener?
Don't worry.
Yes, you are.
Yes. Don't
worry. It would have been a lot funnier had the windows been broken, is what he said.
Muggs, so what I was saying was...
I'm so happy Muggs is filling in.
Oh, boy. You guys, James Corden has revealed that he went to therapy... quickly after fame went to his head.
Mm-hmm.
He was being quoted in an interview saying, I started to behave like a brat that I just don't think I am. And it's so intoxicating. The first flush of fame, you don't know what it's going to do to you if you're not bred for it. And that came after his Gavin and Stacey sitcom success.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have another quote from James, too.
These are people, but they're cats, and this is kind of blowing my mind.
I would go to therapy if I was in cats.
Right?
Yeah. Didn't end well.
Very big disaster.
He's fine, though. James is the best.
Also, I said it before. I worked with him. I worked on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's always nice, always a kind guy, so that therapy must have worked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jensen mentioned our good buddy, comedian, actor Paul Scheer, Marcus Mumford, Bobby Moynihan, formerly of Saturday Night Live, Johnny Rotten, Nolan Ryan, Minnie Driver, Kerry Washington, JT Justin Timberlake, and I forgot one person.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother, Mama Muggs.
Oh,
her
Mama.
It's her birthday today.
I hope she listened to that break and is super proud of you.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to he's going to blow it. What's happening?
She knew it. She knew
you
it.
I think that really happened or...
do you not think that really happened?
So, Mugs, you did well.
You did great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good job.
I look forward till next time.
Good job.
Like there's going to be a next time. These SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker and Klein's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are we going to bone later?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's not great. What's option B?
My cat just bit me on the foot. That really hurts.
Don't bogart that joint.
At this point, I'm more Bean than Gene.
Just pass it around.
Matter of fact, everybody's got the day off. Everybody's got the day off. Y'all got the day off. Everybody go home. I'm so appreciative of all you guys' hard work. I love every single one of you, except you, Tad. Bagel Friday is for everybody, Tad. You don't think we know you taking the bagels?
Yeah, Tad, not cool.
This has been absolutely beautiful, you guys. I can't believe it's come to an end. You guys will always be in my heart. And I sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. No words can describe how I feel about you guys. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. God, I love you guys. What can I say? Mamba out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.